Club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Welcome, everybody. MG will be back on Monday with Liam. They've had a week off. MG's been celebrating the premiership win of the Panthers, and good luck to him. They love him in Penrith. James Graham, this is our last Rush Hour.
Yeah, sure is. It's like the last day of school, isn't it, where you don't really know what to do with yourself. You're just playing games or watching a film. It's a bit strange, isn't it? I feel a bit sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like the last day of school, because the last day of school, you don't get paid. You're trying to get out of there. At least with this, you get a bit of change. You get a bit of money.
Well, that's true, mate. That's true.
So we'll ask you in the course of the show what you will do with all your free time that you're going to have coming up between now and Christmas. But it's a massive show lined up. The great Benji Marshall, who we love so much here at Triple M, let's get him on. 346 NRL games, 30-plus for his country, a World Cup, a premiership, and we do love him at Triple M. Benji Marshall, good to get you on board, mate.
Oh, mate, what a pleasure. The pleasure is mine, Maroon, because to be with the best radio personality on radio at the moment, and yourself, Maroon, it's great. good to be with you, Jimmy.
Good to hear your voice yet again.
Oh, how good is it? Seriously.
But, mate, just before we go any further, Benj, I just want to tell you, mate, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, now you're finished playing footy, you'll just roll back into Sydney. Mate, there is no way you're coming to work at Triple M. So get that in your head before we go any further.
You know what I love about that is they obviously haven't told you yet, have they? About your job. Have they told you or no?
Oh, no, they've told me. Oh, mate, I went in there.
Have that convo off here, because from what I heard, I was taking your job.
You could never, never.
Anyway, back to present times, Benji. How are you feeling? How's the news taken in? How's it feel to be a former NRL player now?
Yeah, it was... It's quite strange, actually. Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns when you know, I've played for 19 years. So for longer than half my life, it's been set out for me where I knew where training, I had to be at training. I knew where I had to be for games and that. And now it's come to the point where I'm going to have to sort that out for myself a bit now, which is quite daunting and quite scary. But, the last couple of days have been really, 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 really good for me. I mean, the amount of support I've gotten from the general public, the rugby league world, friends and family, players that I used to play with, it's been quite overwhelming. And, I knew I had an effect on people within the game, but not to the extent that a lot of people have given me messages for, and I haven't been able to reply to everyone yet, but it's been phenomenal. And, I'm really stoked with the way it's all ended for me.
Yeah, Benji, to be honest, mate, I'm not surprised. I know you're very humble and you wouldn't want to admit it, but mate, there's a reason why so many people reach out to you and want to congratulate you on the career and say thanks to you for the impact that you had on them. But can you just talk us through when you made the decision? Obviously, I've been, working closely with you, and I know on the weekly show you get asked quite a lot, but just when did you actually nail the decision and confirm it? And obviously I think there was a couple of offers from a few teams for next season, but when was that decision in concrete?
Yeah, it was actually after the game. I was having a good think about it, and I thought, I'll just get through the next couple of days, have a good time with the boys, and had a couple of big nights with the boys, and then got home on Tuesday morning and just sat down with my wife and had a good conversation. And I just said to her, I think it's time. I know I can play on if I wanted to, but I think just the timing of everything, how good this year has been for me, and also like where I thought my legacy would sort of sit at the end of the season. Even though we did lose the grand final, I don't think there would be a higher note for me to go out on. So it just felt like the right time. And once I sort of made that decision, I cried for about 4 hours on and off. But after that, I actually had a sense of relief and a sense of excitement about what was going to be next, because I hadn't delved into that world and I hadn't thought about planning what would happen after properly. And, a lot of things have happened since then. I'm just really excited about what's going to happen next.
Hey, mate, listen, you can't kid a kidder. We know the story of last year. You know that we all know that you weren't really waiting until January, making all these phone calls, not getting these deals through. It was just to dodge the preseason. I think that's coming again. I think this is all just a ploy to dodge the preseason. We'll see you in some colours come February, lining up the the return, the U-turn will happen. But no, in all seriousness, mate, you spoke about, you know, leaving in the grand final, leaving on a team that's winning, playing good football. Just how important have the last sort of 10, 11 months been for you, finishing off your career at South Sydney?
Well, I'll put it this way, Jimmy. I think if I didn't get this opportunity to play at South Sydney, where we had 22 wins out of 27 games this season, which is a phenomenal season in any team's history, you know. So for me to be a part of that and be able to contribute to the team in a different way, obviously coming off the bench and playing a lot of different positions, but still have an impact on the side. And not only that, like, have a really good feeling about the way I finish. You know, if I had to finish on the way it sort of finished at the Tigers, I don't think it would have been the same as what it feels like now. So, you know, those are all things that just contributed to me making that decision. And, yeah, it's sitting okay with me at the moment. I reckon the challenge is going to be when the footy starts again and players are running out and I'm not running out, where it's probably going to hurt the most.
Mm. Hey, Benji, when you look back at that career, you said 19 seasons, and it was only a couple of seasons in when the world was still getting to know you when you played in that grand final. And then, of course, your last game was a grand final. What was more nerve-wracking, that first one when you're a kid or that last one when you knew you're on the verge of retirement?
Yeah, I had no nerves at all going into the grand final just gone, to be honest with you, Maroon. I really felt we had a really good trust within the way we'd played, you know, and a good trust within our system that we could get the job done. And, you know, Penrith played this amazing game where we wanted to actually do that to them, have repeat sets, have a lot of footy, control the field position. And, you know, I just felt like we're coming out of our own half of the whole game and we're on the back foot. And to our credit, like, at the end of the game, if you looked at how much possession and territory we had, like, we had no right to be throwing punches at the end of the game to still be in it. So really proud of the boys for that. But yeah, the nerves were, they just weren't there for me this game. And you know, I think when I was 2005, I was just a kid and I was, you know, I don't want to say the word, but my pants, you know what I mean? Like, it was really nerve-wracking, but no, I felt pretty good this time around, really.
Yeah, Benji, just reflecting on a few other things, no doubt you will have looked back at your career, but, you know, a lot gets made of your NRL career. Can you tell us about the international scene as well? Obviously, a proud Kiwi, winning the World Cup in 2008, and I think a Four Nations along the way as well. Can you just tell us what it meant to perform the haka and wear that black and white jersey?
Oh, yeah, let me start by saying I played Australian schoolboys coming out of school. In New Zealand, they didn't know who I was. And to stand there and have the New Zealand team perform the haka to me just didn't feel right. And then I actually got asked to make a decision whether I wanted to play for Queensland or do I want to play for New Zealand. And for me, that was the easiest decision ever, because representing New Zealand was the greatest achievement for me that I reckon I could have ever done. And to be able to go on and play 31 tests, and I captained New Zealand, I think, for 25 of them, you know, won a World Cup, won a Four Nations. And, you know, I think one of the proudest moments was where I didn't play for a few years and I came back in 2019 and made a comeback to the Kiwis against Tonga. And it was so emotional, because that's how much playing for New Zealand meant to me. And, yeah, they're some of the happiest times of my life, mate, playing for your country. And, yeah, things you'll never forget. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, you should be proud as well, mate. You always wore that country shirt with honour and with pride. Now, I can remember watching you come back and seeing the emotion on you. So, yeah, credit to you, and just goes to show just what it meant to you. Mate, just looking forward, and, yeah, just want to get a bit of advice. You are an icon player. I know you don't like to admit it, but you really, really are. And no doubt there's kids still aspiring to be the next Benji Marshall. What advice would you give to them or the parents on how to become such a sidestepping genius that you were or are?
Oh, well, yeah. I don't reckon it's the word icon's the right word. I reckon it's more like a hope that, you know, well, where I come from as a kid, there was kids who were turning up in gangs, doing the wrong thing, and could have went down the wrong path. I reckon what I've been able to achieve maybe is giving kids a bit of hope that if they work hard and they do the right things, they could end up having the career that I've had. But it comes down to a couple of things. I reckon you got to surround yourself with the right people, be prepared to work hard and be the hardest working player in your team, and prepare to sacrifice a lot to live your dream, because at the end of the day, you know, the rewards you get from it have been phenomenal. And I've had to sacrifice a lot of my, you know, teenage life of doing what most teenagers are doing, and then adult life of being able to do what your friends are doing. So if you want your dream enough, you just got to go out and get it. And if you work hard, you know, anything can happen. So I feel like I've been able to achieve that off the back of that, and I've been really lucky.
Hey, Benjo, I was interested there to hear your take on the grand final, because it hasn't quite been a week that's passed. As a rugby league fan, obviously a Rabbitohs fan, us Rabbitohs fans, maybe it's the same with all rugby league fans. I have to say, with all honesty, sometimes we'll find someone to blame, the ref, or something could have gone our way, but didn't get a decent rub of the green. But I think you summed it up perfectly there. You know, I think it was just a great game that the Rabbitohs just didn't win.
Yeah, it was actually a great game for probably the people watching. You know, when you're on the losing end, it can be quite tough. But you know, when you lose, well, your team loses, it's human nature to try and find an excuse or try and find a reason. You know, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to just say on the day that Penrith are better than us. And they were, and they outplayed us. And like I said to you, we had a chance to come back and tie that game, if not have a chance at winning it. So, yeah, we had our opportunities and we just didn't take them. But full credit to them, because, you know, grand finals, you got to go out and win it. And they certainly did that.
Well, mate, the question everyone is going to ask you now, and this is the one that you're going to get sick of, so I'm going to throw it in nice and early. Where to now, mate? Coaching, media, a little bit of both, a little bit of time off. Where to now?
Yeah, well, I've agreed to work at Fox Sports for the next 2 years on TV, so that'll be a good way to keep my foot in the door with the game and still have a bit of input and a bit of analysis sort of stuff. Not on as much money as Jimmy Graham there, but yeah, that's another story. But yeah, I am looking forward to doing some coaching, Maroon, because, you know, I think the thing I'm going to miss the most is at the end of playing, I think the thing I'm always going to be searching for is a bit of fulfillment. And I mean this with no disrespect, like working in the media, there's no outcome at the end of the season, what I've been used to, or there's no like prize. You know, it's going to work and just giving your analysis where, I think with coaching, you're making people better. You're doing something you love, and you're doing things that at the end of the day, if you end up becoming an assistant or head coach, there's still an outcome and a goal, which I've been used to for most of my life. So I think I do want to do a bit of coaching. To what capacity, I'm not sure at the moment. But what I do know is for the next few weeks, I'm going to enjoy the family time, have a bit of a holiday, hopefully get back to Sydney fully vaccinated with our friends and family, and spend some time with loved ones that we've missed throughout this whole period.
Hey, Benji, just on the coaching role or the potential coaching role, is there a club in mind that you'd like to work for or work at?
I'm open to anything at the moment. I don't really know, Jimmy, yet whether I'm sold on straight into full-time coaching or do a bit of consultancy or working with Haas or development. But I have done the development stuff before with juniors at clubs, and I do enjoy working with the kids, teaching them the basics, which I think I'm really good at teaching. So I don't know. It's just I'll weigh up everything in a couple of weeks and see what sort of offers there are around and try and do something. But I am looking forward to working in the media as well. I mean, I love working at Fox Sports, half the reason because you're there. But, you know, it's a great company to work for. I just enjoy it, mate. So as long as I'm involved with the game in some capacity, I'll be happy as well.
Yeah, Tuesdays have never been the same without you, Matt. I actually get to eat some chicken. You don't get in there first and have all the good stuff, mate. So I'll be hopefully looking forward to sharing some of that chicken with you again Tuesday evenings, mate. It'd be great.
I look forward to it, buddy.
Good on you, Benj. Hey, have fun with the family, mate. And we look forward to seeing you on Fox and a Triple M in 2022.
Hey, listen, Marine. Listen, thank you, mate. You know, I'm always joking about you, but you are one of the greatest on radio, buddy.
I tell you what, mate, we'll settle this next year, Benj. But, mate, you deserve to have some time off, and we will definitely see you in Triple M.
All right, fellas. Thanks, boys.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M with Maroon and James Graham. We've been filling in this week for Liam and, of course, MG. But I guess for the rest of the year now, I don't know what you... Well, actually, Jammer, we have got one or two sports lunches confirmed, one in Huskisson. But what do you do now for the remainder of the year?
Mate, this is a strange one. Normally, off-season has been about getting ready for the next season or going on to an international team or something like that and just putting the feet up and getting ready for the grueling pre-season. Last year was a little bit different. It involved, you know, a little holiday, and then it was planning to move from England back to Australia. So had plenty on my mind there and dealing with Christmas and family and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a bit of a strange one this year. I'm sort of at a bit of a loss. I am an ideas man, though, so I do like to bounce ideas around. I've got one going that I might sort of try and look at. I've
Okay, you want to tell us? Or?
Yeah, I'll let you in on it. I think by putting this out there, though, that sort of means I'm not going to be able to do it because someone else could just nick this idea. But I've got an idea for a bar.
A bar?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'd have no trouble getting investors.
Mm. So it's called Crafty Crypto.
Righto.
So it's craft beer and crypto together as one.
Oh, so you got to have like cryptocurrency.
You can only pay using crypto.
Right.
And you can only buy craft beer there. We might, you know, sell a few arty-farty cocktails.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something on tap for the cocktails or bit of wine, you know. Mm. But it's about craft and crypto.
You've got to pay with crypto.
You've got to pay with crypto.
Well, let me ask you this, because a good mate of mine, he's from Watford, and his dad was over here, and he said to his son, who's about your age, he goes, if a Bitcoin is worth $10,000, you know, this is a sincere question from a man who's in his mid-60s. If a crypto is worth $10,000 and I go and pay for a schooner with crypto, what are they going to give me for change? This is what I don't understand either.
Give you crypto back, but well, you don't spend the whole big. It's similar to like if I've got $100 bill,
right?
That I don't. But yeah. If I did, or do they have $100 bill?
Yeah, they
here?
Do, man. Yeah, of course they
if
do.
If you've got $100, and you go and you like the denomination is Australian dollar,
yeah.
And you go to a cafe and you buy a coffee, you get Australian dollars back.
Mm,
yeah. So it's like, you know, but with crypto, the genius is you don't need change because you just use a percentage of that coin or altcoin.
Mm. Well, that answers my question.
Yeah, I think it's got legs in it. So if there's any investors or people that can bring this idea to life, hit me up on LinkedIn. Let's get it going.
Yeah, craft and crypto.
Crafty crypto.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham, the crafty crypto man.
I'll pour beers behind the bar and everything.
Oh, I absolutely love it.
I'd love the lifestyle as well. Imagine that.
Are you going to make the beers or...?
Mate, you never know.
Mm.
You never know. I wouldn't mind trying to make beers. I've got another idea. A lot of it involves alcohol, doesn't it? Jeez. Mm. I've got another idea. It's called it's making a whiskey, and it's sort of whiskey meets fortune cookies.
Right.
It's called The Answer. So at the bottom of the bottle has got like some life advice.
Right.
But you only get to see it
when you're finished.
Once you finish the whiskey bottle.
Mm.
See how I like to merge things together?
Yeah.
You know, take a concept and another concept, marry them together, you get a better result. Mm. You know, they've done all the hard work with, you know, the whiskey making.
Mm.
They've done all the hard work with the fortune cookies.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring them together to make it even better for everybody.
What sort of advice? But see, the thing is, if you drink the whole bottle of whiskey, you'll forget what the advice was. And what sort of advice will it be?
Or you're more likely to act
on it there and then.
The advice.
Yeah.
There and then, you know?
So
and the whiskey would be a nice sort of Speyside, you know, nice blend of something from the River Spey in Scotland. I'd be, you know, got a bit of sherry cask finish would be nice, you know? Oh, yes, I can taste it already.
There's your advice once you've finished it.
Yeah. But we're gonna have to get some designers in for the bottle. You know, you can't have people, you know, tipping it upside down or shining a light on it to get the answer. You've got to finish the bottle.
I love this.
Please drink responsibly as well.
So what do we call the one with the fortune cookie and the whiskey's called?
The Answer.
The Answer. And then we've got the Crafty Crypto.
Yeah, yeah.
The craft beer bar where you can only play with crypto.
Yeah, mate.
Mate, you are a genius.
Full of ideas. So hit me up on LinkedIn if you want to make this a reality or help me make it a reality.
Mm. Well, mate, you're either going to make billions or you're going to go broke. But
not
I
billions
think,
of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I love the idea, mate. And well, that answers what you're going to do.
Yeah. What are you going to? Oh, well, and you can ferry me around as well. We'll do some lunches. It'd be nice.
Well, we'll do all. We've got, as I say, Huskisson, Culbara coming up. But mate, I haven't got anything planned. I do a lot of work in the clubs, and the clubs are going to reopen again. But a friend of mine is the great Madge Maguire. I love Madge, and he said to me once, he goes, "All you need to do is stay in a routine." So I've always stayed in routine, trained, walked the dog, kept things in routine. That's what works for me. That's how I'm going to stay.
I like it, mate. Yeah. Structure and discipline is freedom.
Absolutely.
It sure is.
But I think your life sounds a lot more exciting.
If it all comes to life, it will, yeah.
The answer. Beautiful stuff. But right now, everyone's looking forward to this.
It's story time with James Graham.
Yeah. mate, you have really given some great stories this week. The story of Wayne Bennett and the tomato juice. The story of the gangster chasing player X and taking a shot at him with a starter's pistol. What have you got for us tonight?
Oh, yeah, well, strap yourself in. This one, I'm going to take you back to my time at Canterbury. I think it was around about 2015, and I'd had a concussion and a knee injury. First game back from that, busted my hamstring, a tendon. So I was out for a while. I was pretty down in the dumps, and sort of doing the rehab wasn't my thing. And during that time, one of the trainers there, Harry Harris, an English guy, we really gravitated toward each other. We were always close, but that particular time, he really looked after me. And during that time as well, we had a couple of work experience lads in with us, sort of doing their thing. And at first, mate, my head was in the shed. Like, you know, I'm trying to get my hamstring sorted and up and down. The team weren't going great. And yeah, anyway, we've sort of developed this relationship. And, you know, I was with Harry and sort of teaching them the ropes. And, you know, sort of one of the things in club land is obviously, you know, making sure you there's rules and there's enforcement of the rules and just what they are. So, you know, in the gym, it's, you know, bring a towel, make sure you wipe down your equipment, fill in your file or your folder. You've got to write all your weights that you've lifted. All these little things. Another one Harry was big on was put your weights away. Oh, he hated players leaving his weights around. But another one that sort of came in was no football staff were allowed in the gym.
Right.
Used to really do his head in. Like, you'd be halfway through a gym session and then one of the football staff would come in and start talking about football. And his philosophy was, I don't go out onto the field and pull one of the players aside and say, like, oh, you know, your lifting technique, you know your squats, if you just get that little bit lower. So that was his idea. It was like, they're in my gym, it's gym time. Anyway, so these are the sort of the rules or the laws of the gym. I think it was around State of Origin time as well. So we had quite a high representation at State of Origin, and we had a few younger lads who were playing. Anyway, I'm there doing my rehab, and the lads come in for their speed weight session. Speed weight session, it's all about speed. Pretty dead giveaway, isn't it, really? Yeah, can you imagine? It's about moving things quickly, and it's a short, quick, sharp weight session. Boom, get in, get it done, get out of
there. How long would that take?
About 20 minutes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, about 20 minutes. Anyway, so during this this speed weight session, it was post-field, so the lads have done their field session, come in to do their speed weights, and obviously, I can't remember who it was. One of the young lads is there, and anyway, in comes Dez with his iPad to show some of the clips from training, obviously interrupting
the speed weights.
The speed weights, and I've looked over. I'm like sort of doing some rehab exercises, whatever it is. I've looked. I can see Harry shaking his head. I'm sort of just gone over to Harry and said, "Hey, why don't we send one of the work experience lads over? Why don't we send a little Craig over and tell Dez to
rack off,
you know, get out the gym? These are the rules. Like, you know, giving this work experience lad a bit more responsibility. So we've got, well, go on then. So anyway, we said, call Craig over. Can you come here, please, mate? Can you just do us a favor? Well, Harry's like, I'm just looking after this, but can you just go over there and just remind Dez, the gaffer, that, you know, no football staff are allowed in the gym. So, like, as naive as he was, this lad sort of like little Craig's marched. He's probably, and bearing in mind, won't say work experience, the lad's like 15. Like, he is genuinely like 15, 16, you know, like very, very naive. You know, hot and hardly spoke a word as well. Anyway, he bounces over to Dez while he's on the laptop and sort of like says, oh, excuse me. And Dez turns around, looks at him, and then just like looks straight back at the laptop, outside at the iPad, and he's showing one of the players what he did, undoubtedly what he did wrong. So little Craig sort of looked over to us, like shrugged his shoulders and been like, and we're like, tell him. You've got to tell him to get out. Get him out the gym. So he's gone in again. excuse me, Des. No football staff are allowed in the gym. Anyway, when he got angry, I'm talking like kicking off the door, kicking the door off its hinges, mad Des. That sort of, you can see the rage, the steam coming out of his ears. I always describe Des when he was getting angry, it was like a kettle, you know, whistling kettle. You could just hear it go, getting ready to explode. Anyway, me and Harry have had to dive over there and save this. Des, no. It was us. It was just a joke. Anyway, he's sort of like Des has gone, oh, yeah. No worries. This poor kid, though, like, was just, like, his heart was singing, but sort of me and Harry sort of justified it as saying, like, well, this is a life lesson that, you know, we're teaching him for the real world. All this stuff you learn in the sports science degrees, it doesn't teach you how to deal with the gaffer or deal with people in positions of power or anything like that. And knowing when you're being pranked is also a big lesson to learn. So I think I like to think he's grateful for it now. He's moved on to pastures new and he knows how to deal with intimidating bosses. So, yeah, that's how we justified it.
Oh, that is one of your best ever. We're going to have to keep doing that next year when we get together with James Graham. Great story, James. As we continue... Yeah, blankety blanks. You know that theme from the Graham Kennedy show back in the 1970s. Now, how this works is our producer here, Chicka White, will read out a sentence. He'll leave out a blank or he'll leave a blank and we have to fill in the blank. Is that right, Chicka?
That's correct, mate. You nailed it. Yep.
Yeah. What's that word you used yesterday when we were getting ready to go on? Started with D.
Dystopian. Because I've been watching Squid Game and I was like, oh, it's quite a dystopian show.
Yeah, I've been watching it too.
To be honest, mate, dystopian's not that bizarre a word.
Well, it is.
I'm just dealing with, you know, working here at Triple M, you work with a lower level of talent, I guess. Anyway, should I take it away?
Yeah, Leo, go for your
life. All right, boys. Blank is the player who will make the leap into State of Origin next season.
Well, I'm going to go Katoni Staggs. He'll have Reynolds with him. He'll have a little bit of stability and he won't get injured. So I'm going to go Katoni Staggs.
I like what you're saying, Maroon, but I'm going to go with Matt Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, premiership winning centre three quarter with the Penrith Panthers, moving to the Bulldogs, expecting big things from him, playing in that number six jersey. I'm sure New South Wales coach Freddie Fittler will find a space for him in that back line somewhere.
The one player who should try and change clubs for next season is blank.
Look, I'm going to go right out of the hemisphere here. I'm going to go left field here. I'm going to go to the North Queensland Cowboys, and I'm going to go Cohen Hess.
Ooh.
I think Cohen Hess goes somewhere else with one of these real blue chip coaches, and that's no disrespect to Toddy Payton, who I love, but I think Cohen Hess needs a change.
I want to go with West Tigers halfback Luke Brooks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's obviously been there for a long, long time. A lot of pressure on him, a lot of expectation on him. Then bringing in Jackson Hastings, I just don't see how that combination is going to work. In my opinion, two genuine number sevens. I know Hastings was bought as a ball playing 13, but I'm not buying that. So I think Luke Brooks, a change of scenery would be good for him. Maybe somewhere like the Canberra Raiders.
Okay.
Boys, it's our last weekend of lockdown here in New South Wales. Mm. So the first thing you'll be doing on Monday for Freedom Day is blank.
Well, I have to say here, boys, not to get too teary or sentimental, I've got two beautiful grandkids that I haven't seen since Magic Round because they live in Brisbane, and now they live closer to me. So as soon as I can see those kids, that's the first thing I'm going to do is get in the car and go and see my grandkids.
Yeah, nice, mate. Well, mine isn't as emotional as that.
Right.
But I'm probably going to go to the gym and more specifically just go sit in the sauna.
Right.
That's probably what I've missed most. I do like a good sauna session. Yeah, sometimes I say I'm going to the gym to lift weights and don't I just sit in the sauna.
Have you ever thought of getting a sauna at home?
I've considered it, mate, but I kind of just like the idea of leaving the house to go in one as well.
Yeah.
I think that sort of works best. I don't want to attract vermin either. and that's not like my friends. I'm not calling my friends rats. You know, do you want to come over for a sauna? I'm talking like legitimately don't want to, you know, there'd be if you're thinking like you're a little rat, it'd be nice to be under that hot, warm sauna.
Yeah. Or even roaches.
Or roaches. So you've got, I don't want to deal with that. I've got, like, I'm not a maintenance person. Like, I like things to look after themselves.
Oh, yeah,
I'm very like I don't like a lawn. I never used a lawnmower or anything like that. So the last thing I need is a sauna to look after and spray the wood and get rid, put up bait traps and all that palaver. The gym's 5 minutes down the road. Run there, sauna out of there. Brilliant, great day.
I'm hearing you, mate. I don't do any man jobs. I have to get a chap because I'm just no good at it.
Get a specialist.
Yeah, get a man. Get a bloke that does it. Yeah, you know, you get me when you want someone to MC your 21st. But anyway, let's leave it there.
Boys, Surry Hills has won the coolest suburb in Sydney award. Mm. But in your opinion, blank is the coolest suburb in Sydney.
Well, I'm going to go for, I'm from Surry Hills, way. I'm from Redfern. These days I live in the People's Republic of Little Bay, which I've been for many, 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 many years. I'm going to go for Little Bay.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disclose the suburb that I live, and I kind of like it how it is. So, it's no good. I don't want anyone else coming there.
Yeah.
It's fine just the way it is. It is a nice area, though. But I reckon the coolest place, Surry Hills is nice. It has got some cool, trendy cafes, though. You feel like you've got to have the mustache and the sort of trendy look, that sort of like the hipster style look, which isn't me. But you know, if that's your thing, then good for you. But I'll go with the rocks. Lots of history. It is on my bucket list to do a walking tour around there as well. So I look forward to doing that once we're out of COVID.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, I think we did that right, Chica.
Yes, he did.
Okay, well, that's it for us. We're going to hand you back to MG and Liam on Monday. Of course, once the world opens up again, Gemma and I will be doing the sports lunch circuit. So if you need anything, just get in touch with me. Someone will know someone who's got my number. And, mate, it's always a pleasure working with you.
Yeah, likewise, mate.